Roxana Apartments LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a CR1 commercial residential district for multifamily dwelling units, 42 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 4.74 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the west side of Roxana Road, which is Route 17, approximately 575 feet south of Atlantic Avenue, which is Route 26. The 911 address, and there's multiple, is 31924 32014 and 32026 Roxana Road, Ocean View. And the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 11, parcels 199.00, 200.00, and 200.01. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's wetland delineation. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, along with a copy of the applicant's renderings. We also have a copy of the DELDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the PLUS response. We have a copy of a jurisdictional determination letter. We also have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of a letter that's been received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We also have a technical advisory committee comment, including a response from the DENREC drainage program. And I would note that we have received zero comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. Okay, Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Planning Commission, and staff. For the record, my name is David Hutt, local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. I would like to note before I really begin that Mr. Whitehouse did a very good job today of having a short, what I think is going to be a short meeting for you following your day yesterday where you spent quite a bit of time.
Yes, we did. Your assistance in seeing to that point would be appreciated. No, I'm teasing.
And I wasn't here to say I was going to ruin that for Mr. Whitehouse. There are none, Mr. Collins, but to assist me this afternoon with this application as may be needed, sitting in the second row behind me was Teresa Rogier. She's a representative from Roxana Apartments LLC, which is the applicant and the owner of two of the properties that we're talking about here. The person that was sitting to my left, your right, as you look at me, is Ken Usam, a professional engineer with Morris and Ritchie Associates, Inc., who are the project engineers. As this was just introduced by Mr. Whitehouse a moment ago, this public hearing is for a conditional use for three tax parcels totaling approximately 4.7 acres of land, seeking to allow 42 multifamily attached dwellings. And the word that's used publicly on this is, you know, a word that you don't like publicly because it always gets opposition, but it is apartments. And so that is what's proposed for this. The Planning Commission does not see many of these types of applications because these properties, as you'll hear in a moment, are all zoned CR1, the county's commercial residential district. In that district, multifamily dwellings are a conditional use. And because of that, of course, there's a public hearing that's required in front of this commission and then county council. And I say that because the county closed the C1 district at one point and created the CR1 district sort of for this purpose, so that if there was going to be residential, there would be a conditional use that was involved in this process. And probably the best example of the fact that a C1 is a quote unquote buy or multifamily is a by right use in the C1 district is the property immediately across the street from this property where the cursor is located here, which is zoned C1 and has apartments that are approved for it and went through just the site plan review process rather than the public hearing process that we're here on this afternoon for this. Of course, there's some great irony because the county then closed the CR1 district as well to create all the other zoning districts that we now have as far as commercial C districts and the business various B districts. So there's not a whole lot of CR1 ground out there. They're not making any more. And so they're, by virtue of all that, you're not going to see many applications of this nature. To help quickly orient people to the location of this property, it likely needs no introduction. This is the intersection of the highway that you see that runs from the top of the page to the bottom of the page is Atlantic Avenue or Route 26. The intersection here is with Roxana Road or Route 17. And of course, at the corner is a longtime business, Creative Concepts, that has been there. The opposite side may be the bigger landmark. I don't know which one's the more noteworthy landmark, but that's the Hawkers Supercenter. I like to call it the original of a Walmart. And then, of course, it's not shown on here because it's too new, but there's a brand new McDonald's that sits within the parking lot of the Hawkers Supercenter that's located there. As you can see on this aerial imagery, the three parcels we're talking about are outlined in red. You can see what I'll call the remains or the remnants of what was Bob's Marine Service. Many of you are probably familiar with that business, which was in that location for a number of years. With that orientation to the property, I wanted to quickly review this project's consistency with the various land planning tools that the commission is familiar with. This is an excerpt from the 2020 state strategies maps with that same aerial overlay. The darker color, yellow or orange, is the level two. You can see the vast majority of this property is in level two with a small portion in level three. As the commission is familiar, in level two, the state refers to that as being like level one, where the state investment policy should support a wide range of uses and densities. That's straight from the state strategies manual. It goes on to state that investments should encourage departure from the typical single family dwelling developments and promote a broader mix of housing types, which is certainly what is proposed to be accomplished with this project. In short, level two, like level one, is where the state expects and encourages growth, and more specifically encourages a departure from typical single family dwelling developments like the commission often sees. The Planning Commission is familiar with the work of the Land Use Working Group, you spent quite a few hours yesterday talking about it. And one of the emphasis of that group was talking about developing in level investment levels one and two is being consistent with the Office of State Planning Coordination. And more specifically, it was noted that oftentimes level one is your municipalities, level two are often the areas just outside of those municipalities. And of course, that holds true here, which is probably best demonstrated on the county's future land use map. You can see that the property is within the coastal area, the yellow tint that's over the overlay. That is the coastal area, and as the commission is familiar, the coastal area is one of the county's growth areas. If we were to expand out from this, you would see that all the property in this area is within that same coastal area, except for the brownish color in the upper right-hand corner. That's actually another growth area, the municipality's growth area, which of course is the town of Millville municipal limits that are nearby. Within Chapter 4 of the comprehensive plan, it does talk about, obviously, the purpose of the coastal area, and it is a growth area where it states that a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family homes, townhomes, and multifamily units, making this application consistent with that. If you wondered what the 2025 draft state strategies map looks like, it didn't change much other than the fact that the entirety of the property is now shown in level two. And as you may recall, when we looked at the 2020 version, there was a tiny portion that was in level three, but now the entirety of the property is shown as being within level two. Moving to the zoning classification of the property, as you can see, and it's a little hard to distinguish the colors because they're very close, but the three properties we're talking about are zoned CR1, the commercial residential district. The properties immediately west, or I'm sorry, on that arrow, north of the property are C1, the general commercial district, as are the properties that are across the street. The other properties on the southern side of this, there's a CR1 property, and in fact, that was the subject of a site plan review that the commission had. That's the J&J bulkheading site. That was the site plan that the Planning Commission recommended approval of earlier today. And then the lands that are behind the property and also to the south of the property are within the AR1 district. When you look at the zoning, and again, if we were to pull out a little bit and see a broader vision of this area and look within a mile of this property, you would see that there is GR, general residential zone properties, MR, medium density residential zone properties, and of course in the AR1 that you see there, there are also conditional uses for manufactured home parks, again, all within a 1 mile radius of this site. With respect to commercial districts, in addition to the C1 and CR1 that you see on the screens right there, within 1 mile there is the C2 medium commercial district as well as the B1 neighborhood business district. Because of the proximity of this property to the town of Millville. I looked at also the zoning districts that are within the town of Millville, and they have the same mix as the county with respect to the property here. They have the AR Agricultural Residential District, the R Residential District, the RPC Residential Plan Community District, MPC Master Plan Community District, and then along Atlantic Avenue or Route 26, they have their C1 Town Center Commercial District. Again, a very similar mix of zoning classifications as exists in Sussex County. As I mentioned at the very outset of the presentation, pursuant to section 115-83.5, what the zoning code refers to as multifamily dwelling structures are a conditional use in the CR1 zoning district. I know the council is familiar with the conditional use standard, but as the code states in section 115-171, conditional uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan and possible impact not only on neighboring properties, but on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. And again, I think that's, if you go back and look at the reason they closed the CR1 district and created this district, was so that there would be that exact standard applied to residential uses within this zoning classification. The Planning Commission has seen many conditional use applications for various residential uses, recognizing that housing is certainly of a public or semi-public character and essential and desirable for the general welfare. The important thing in this application is there's a great deal of conversation about the emphasis that, or not emphasis, but the number of single-family home developments that exist in Sussex County. And so this plan presents an alternative or a different option from single-family home dwellings to a multi-family dwelling option. As was mentioned, this application is for 42 units on the property. They are, of course, attached and shown, as you can see on the site plan, in two buildings. The density of this application is 8.78 units to the acre, which is below the base density of 12 units to the acre that is permitted in the CR1 zoning district, and consistent with and actually a little less than the density of some other residential projects in the area. For instance, Millville by the Sea, which is the large RPC immediately south and east of this, while it has an overall density of 4.2 units to the acre, has many areas that have high density because that's the nature of the master plan community that they have there. Ascend by the Sea, which is a little south of this property on Route 17, has 7.3 units to the acre, very similar to this proposed density. And then, as I mentioned at the outset, right across the street from this is Roxana Apartments, a future proposed multifamily unit site plan review that this commission completed in December of 2024, a little bit less than a year ago, and that is at 12 units to the acre on that property. With that background on the zoning and conditional use, I did want to walk through the site plan briefly. Starting at the front of the community, of course, at the top of the page is Route 17 or Roxana Road. You can see the entrance, which is outlined in gray. The entrance is sort of across Roxana Road from what I refer to as the back entrance to the Hawker Supercenter there on Roxana Road. What's proposed is a shared entrance with the property immediately to the left as you look at the screens. That property is also owned by the applicant, and DelDOT was very pleased that there would be a joint entrance between these properties and whatever future development arises on that other property. For those very familiar with the site, there is a looped driveway that you can see grayed out here. That will all be gone, and the only entrance to this property and then the one immediately adjacent to it would be the grayed area that you see on the screens around the room right now. After you enter from that shared entrance, you would make a left, and there's two parking areas that you can see, one adjacent to what I would call the front of the buildings and one adjacent to the side of the buildings. Again, there are two buildings that you can see, the one on the left and the one on the right, each having 21 units within it. There's a stormwater management pond that you can see that's proposed between the parking area and Route 17. Mr. Collins, that would mean that there'd be no parking in the front yard setback, which I know is something that is important in the site plans as you review them. The open space on the property is 2.53 acres, which is a little over half of the site. And by open space, that means area that there are no buildings or pavement. Around, there are no amenities that are proposed just due to the size or number of units or size of the project. Around the perimeter of the property, what I wanted to show is I think it's important to the conditions in the proposed conditions that will be presented. But there is a single-family home that is located in the small box or rectangle in the adjacent to Roxana Road. What's proposed is a vinyl fence that would run along the property line with that property, both starting at Roxana Road and then going to the southernmost or easternmost property line that you see there. The remainder of the property does not have your traditional buffer boundary that you're familiar with when you look at, for instance, a residential subdivision. And the reason for that is that what you see on the screens where the cursor is located just outside of the property line is a tax ditch, and there is an 80-foot easement from the tax ditch right-of-way, and that 80 feet is this line that you see on the screen right here, and then also the line continues across here. There'll be an application to modify that 80-foot easement to reduce it to 25 feet from top of bank. The DENREC and the tax ditch program are familiar with those applications. For whatever reason, when those were put in, there was a great deal of easement that was provided with those. Interestingly enough, the existing structures that exist on both the property that we're talking about as well as the adjacent property, that easement goes right through the middle of those structures. And so this getting the easement modified will actually do a couple things. One, it will clean up that issue where you have structures, physical structures within a tax ditch easement area. The other thing it will do, if we were to go back and look at the aerial imagery from Bob's Marine Service, there were boats and boat parking that came basically all the way back to the rear of that parking area. And of course, as part of this, there would be no, that would no longer exist. And so the tax ditch would be protected and there'd be a buffer from that tax ditch. And so again, what's proposed is 25 feet from top of bank would be the easement for the tax ditch right of way along the side here, and then the back of the property. And then, and I know the Planning Commission is familiar with this in other applications, at least one that I'm familiar with because I presented it. But what's proposed is the meadow mix that DENREC allows in those areas along the tax ditch. They are going to require that the trees and such that are in the tax ditch, of course, be removed so the tax ditch can function as it's supposed to. But once those trees are removed, basically from the boundary line of the property in 20, 25 feet, will be that meadow mix. And then you can see, certainly they don't want there to be no trees on the site. So what is proposed are trees that are between that easement for the tax ditch right of way and the buildings themselves. You can see the symbols for the trees and shrubbery and landscaping that would exist here. So in some respects—
Just a question for you then. Sure. So that's the St. George's tax ditch you're referring to. And you're suggesting that an application will be made with DNR to reduce the area of it so that part of that structure can be encroaching on the tax ditch?
It'll reduce, so the line that you see, that's the 80 foot from top of bank, the proposal to the tax ditch authority will be to move it so it's 25 feet from top of bank. So it would be outside of these trees. It would be on the right-hand side of those trees is where the top of bank would be.
Okay, thank you.
And you know, as I said, currently the houses are in it as they exist today. So again, the landscaping and the buffering is a little bit inverse where the trees are gonna be between the building and that buffer in the meadow area. And what's proposed in the conditions is that meadow mix for the right of the tax ditch easement area, and then a landscaping plan will be provided to the Planning Commission for your review. Again, the goal of this is not to eliminate trees on the site, but we have to comply with the requirements of DENREC for that tax ditch.
Thank you.
A few other factors that the Planning Commission always considers. This area is shown on the FEMA flood maps as being in Zone X, areas outside the 500-year floodplain. Public utilities are available to the site through Sussex County Engineering Department. There was a letter that Mr. Whitehouse described when he introduced the application, indicating that there is capacity available for this project. In addition to that, we have a willing and able letter from Tidewater Utilities, Inc., indicating that there is capacity and their readiness and willingness to provide central water for both domestic use and fire protection. There are no source water protection areas subject to Chapter 89, which means there's not in a wellhead protection area, nor is the property located in a excellent groundwater recharge area. In fact, it's a fair groundwater recharge area. There are no resources that would require a resource buffer, as that term is described in Section 115-4 and 115-193. And there are also no wetlands on the property. A couple of the reports that you saw on the record were that the property was studied and there was a jurisdictional determination of no wetlands by the Army Corps of Engineers. There was also, as is required, a service level evaluation request that was filed with DLDOT regarding the traffic impact. DLDOT responded that the traffic impact for this proposed community would be negligible, as the Planning Commission is familiar. Pursuant to Sussex County's Memorandum of Understanding with DLDOT, that negligible term means less than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and less than 500 vehicle trips in total per day. Oftentimes, people look at any density that's greater than 4, and specifically in the comprehensive plan, a density of 4 to 12 units to the acre, and when is that density appropriate? The applicant would submit that density is appropriate in the CR1 district, which allows up to 12 units to the acre, but also is consistent with the coastal area and the comprehensive plan. I know the commission has heard this several times, but the comprehensive plan states that Sussex County's base density of 2 units per acre is appropriate throughout this classification, that's the coastal area. However, medium and higher density, 4 to 12 units per acre, can be appropriate in certain locations. Medium and higher density could be supported in areas where there is central water and sewer near sufficient commercial uses and employment centers, where it is in keeping with the character of the area, where it is along a main road or at or near a major intersection, where there is adequate level of service, or where other considerations exist that are relevant to the requested project and density. The project that is proposed this afternoon creates an important additional residential housing option at an appropriate density level in level 2 area on the state strategies map in the coastal area near the municipal limits of Millville. That is in an area with central water and sewer provided by the county for sewer and tidewater for water. It's certainly near a significant number of commercial uses and employment centers all up and down Route 26 and even along Route 17 there. It is situated along Roxana Road, as was just mentioned, which is a major collector as identified by DLDOT. And it's also near a major intersection because it's within 600 feet of the intersection with Route 26 or Atlantic Avenue. It's certainly in keeping with the character of the area, including the proposed multifamily dwellings that are immediately across the street from it. And all of those factors make it consistent with the underlying CR1 zoning classification, as well as the coastal area designation on the future land use map. But with that, I did want to provide the commission with a proposed set of findings of fact and proposed conditions, which I will hand to Mr. Whitehouse. As I often do, I'm not going to review all the proposed conditions. They are the standard or typical conditions that would be anticipated, I believe, by the Planning Commission with this type of an application. I did want to highlight two of the conditions because they're, again, probably the focal point of this application. That is on page 5, condition H, which states that the tax ditch easements and rights of way as amended shall be shown on the final site plan and shall be maintained in a meadow-like manner consistent with DENREC's requirements for tax ditches. And that's the description or condition about the situation with the buffers that we talked about a few minutes ago. The condition that follows that is the other condition I wanted to review, which is condition I, which says that a 6-foot high vinyl fence shall be installed along the common boundary line with that adjacent parcel in the, when we look at that, in the upper right-hand corner. That concludes my presentation this afternoon. Myself and my client are happy to answer any questions that the commission or staff may have.
Okay, thank you, sir. We'll start with Mr. Passwaters.
No questions at this time.
Mr. Collins?
Piers?
Will the landscaping between the meadow and the buildings meet our buffer ordinance?
I don't think that they would quite meet the density of trees and shrubs that would be in the buffer.
Because of the proximity to the building.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to get that on the record. I like the design shown in the rendering, the contemporary design. Mm-hmm. Nice. That's all I have.
Is it normally dry or is it flooded or do you know?
That I'll ask Mr. Youssef to answer that question if he would. If you could introduce yourself to the commission.
For the record, my name is Kenneth Youssef, a professional engineer with Morrison Ritchie Associates. Yes, the tax ditch generally has very little water in it. Right now it hasn't been maintained in a long time. There's a lot of overgrowth of trees, and we'll be removing that and bringing it up to a better condition as requested by the drainage section.
Anything else? Just a couple questions. So I see you have interconnectivity shown on the plan as is required, which who knows what that might end up being with what's next door. And then it looks like there is an option for, in the multi-use path, emergency access, should that be needed, to the west side of the project there where the multi-use path looks like it's butts out to the roadway. Am I interpreting that correct? Since we like to have
this area,
yes.
I'll ask Mr. Youssef, is there going to be enough area there for an emergency responder to get from Route 17 back to the apartments?
If the main entrance was blocked for any emergency need?
Yes, the width of the entrance road should provide two routes to get in, or one lane or the other.
The question is that on this end, if this was blocked, a bus went sideways, or a large vehicle, a tractor trailer, was blocking that, and there was an emergency, medical emergency in here, would a first responder be able to get through here? And I'm going to guess that
multi-use path
from that multi-use path.
We can make the multi-use path wide enough to accommodate.
Okay. We're seeing that more often, or requiring that more often, because there has been instances where the main entrance, regardless of the width of it, has been blocked for whatever reason. Sometimes, you know, there's signs that are put out there for the name of the project or what have you. So, okay.
And that will limit some of the landscaping probably that may be between that vinyl fence and the stormwater pond. But just so that's recognized, that may be may impact.
Just in that area, though.
Correct.
Right. That's correct. Yeah, because I like to see, we were talking about that at the meeting yesterday, more landscaping along the road, major roadways, so we don't have to see all of what's behind us, behind the landscaping. Okay. Mr. Robertson?
No questions, thanks.
White House?
None for me, thank you.
Okay, if you'd like to have a seat, we'll see if anybody has an interest here in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2516, Roxana Apartments, LLC? Anybody here would like to speak in opposition? No? Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Okay, well, there being none, I'll close the public hearing on conditional use number 2516, Roxana Apartments, LLC. You're welcome to stay with us, see if we make a decision or call the office.